The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this March 9th, 2023. And tonight here there's He's a rising star. There's no denial on the board as our producer. His name is Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
And right here, we let her out of the office, our church secretary and also my researcher, right here live in the studio with me. She doesn't hardly ever get out of the office. I won't let her out because we have too much work to do. But Heather Copper.
Hey, brave listeners.
Now, over the years, folks, we've had a lot of battles over the years on the radio. But we never stood down. We never backed down. We went after them. And, folks, that's exactly what our guest here tonight does. He is he started the State of Corruption Investigation to the bad guys. And tonight we have quite a story, so you don't want to miss tonight's program. We have Mike Gill with us. Hey, Mike.
Hey, hello.
All righty. Mike, we're going to get right into our Bible study, and then we're going to get right into you. And tonight you're the star of the program because I'm going to let you do all the talking tonight. I've been listening to your videos and reading your literature here. And I knew a lot of this, but, well, actually just a small portion of what you're going to be talking about tonight. So the title of the message was Our God, Our Victory, Their God, Their Defeat. And recently, more and more people saying, Pastor, it can't get much worse, can it? It can't get much worse, can it, Pastor? Yeah, it can, okay. Then they asked me about the Lord's coming back soon, right? He's coming back soon, like I have some inside information. Well, hopefully he does. I mean, we're looking for that, right? And so here, I would have never thought that I would see the, you know, seemingly total degeneration of our society, knowing full well the absolute perfect accuracy and biblical prophecy of the Bible, that things would morally, spiritually, and physically continue to deteriorate the way they have. And yet still, we weren't ready for it to happen so quickly. Things just happen, and that's exactly what it tells you in Daniel chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, that it's going to happen rapidly. It's going to speed up, and I knew that, but I wasn't ready for as fast as it's going now. The biblical literate of my generation, growing up in the 50s, knew the evil day or time of sorrows spoken of in the Scripture would someday come. But we never imagined that it would occur so rapidly. Had we been warned of such a future, we would have thought, this is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Well, we could never imagine that we would live to see the day America would become as the great whore Babylon. We never would have believed that we would see the day when the abominable would be the norm in our society. The sins of abortion, euthanasia, the LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, transgenders, trans species, pedophilia, drag queens, whores of every kind, religious whores, political whores, corporate whores, military whores, judicial whores, hot wife whores, media whores, then it just goes on and on. Once when Ronald Reagan was asked about the American policy during the Cold War with Russia, he said, "We win, they lose." That was his policy. Very good one, too. And even though, to a great extent, he was right, he still couldn't say that with complete certainty. But we, as Christians, can say with complete certainty that when it comes to our war with Satan and the so-called woke progressives, we can say it's been settled in heaven. We've already won. We just have to see the completion of the process. And that's the reality. You've got God's word on that. And we're going to pick it up where we left off. And tonight it's in Matthew chapter 19, verses 22 through 26. And so here we go. But when the young man heard the saying, he went sorrowfully for a way. He had great possessions. Well, the young man, he asked, he said, "What can I do? I've done this. I've lived such and such a life. What must I do?" And Jesus said, "Sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor." It's not what he wanted to hear, okay? And so he went on his way. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now remember, in those days in Israel, the belief was, the common belief was that if you were rich, it was because God loved you. God loved you. He blessed you because you were a good person if you were rich. If you were poor, it's because he didn't care for you, and that's why you were poor. And that was the mindset of the people of that day. So when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That's our motto here in the state of Ohio. That's our state motto. Now, here, the Bible does give you a number of examples where rich men were saved. We see Job. We see Abraham, the wealthiest men of the East. We see Solomon. We see King David. A number of men. But, of course, if you take a look at the percentage of rich men, according to the population, they were very, very few. And so with that, I'm going to switch early tonight and go over, and I'm going to let Mike Gill pick it up on that, because it seems that the love of money is the root of all evil, is it not, Mike?
Well, you're talking to once a rich man, so but you know something? It's the greed of evil men that is the measure of the depth of corruption that we're in right now. That's what I found. And I'd like to start by saying that what I'm going to tell you now, you can go to Brendan Lee O'Connell on YouTube, and he has put a series of videotapes with my evidence and helped me to bring this forward. So you can understand what's going, because it is a complicated situation. It is an absolute plan of not just a takeover by corruption, but of evil. And when the pastor was talking about how glaring it is today, it wasn't that they weren't there yesterday. But what should scare you is, you know why it's so in your face today? It's the measure of their confidence that you can't do anything about it. It is the final stages. Trust me when I tell you this. They knew there was going to come a point that you were going to know that you live in a state of corruption, that you were going to understand that 87,000 IRS agents armed with guns were going to come for your home. There was also elements of control because that's how the few control the masses. It's got to be division and dividing us, but it's by this control. So we're in to the final stages of a complete takeover by corruption. And I want you to know that I was not a conspiracy theorist. I didn't come from a place that believed that this evil existed. It's really our disadvantage. Good people don't have it in their hearts to see this. And what you can't see, it's hard for you to believe. But who we're fighting, and believe me, it is a war. Who we're fighting is this evil see you well. They see your hearts and they see your weaknesses. They understand that you don't see them, which is why so many of these people come to you as friends, like Project Veritas, James O'Keefe. That is part of my story. He was no better than Epstein and Maxwell with undercover cameras and so forth. But I'm gonna start briefly just to tell you who I was. You know, I want to say who I am, but I'm somebody different today than I was then. My mother was the catechism teacher for the town of Salem, New Hampshire. She was disfigured by polio and handicapped, but I was her warrior, and I was her protector. And from there, I went to become a priest. I was in a seminary for 5 years. Again, thinking that I was a protector by nature. Now, what I did was I went out in business. I built the largest volume mortgage brokerage firm in the United States, the largest racing stable in the world, world champion. So I was a very wealthy man. But I was a father first of 5 children. I was the baseball coach, the basketball coach, the football coach. Those children were my life. Though when you say you have a love of your life, my love of my life were my children and still are my children who live under threats of murder every day. Because what this evil asks themselves when they try to murder you, when they try to bribe you and you say no, they ask themselves, what does he love? And that's what they attack. So what happened was I discovered a Ponzi scheme. And again, I'll try to do this quick. And what it was 402 victims. The vast, vast majority were elderly. They were quite literally stealing their money at the end of their lives while they're trying just to live in dignity. And the element that was in charge of this was a guy named Bill Shaheen, who happened to have been my lawyer. And again, you'll see it in the video, so I won't go over too much. But he was the architect of this Ponzi scheme. So I came to the defense of these people, not knowing what I was up against. I was up against the deep state. Bill Shaheen was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. He's married to Senator Jean Shaheen. They control Senator Hassan. These were two vice president candidates for Biden. Now, what Bill Shaheen did, and this Ponzi scheme, opened the door to the banking department. Now, the banking department turned out to be the protector and involved in this Ponzi scheme. But behind this Ponzi scheme, where no one knew about, and it took me time to figure it out, was the largest money laundering network in the country that later we find out it's the Pandora Papers, the largest money laundering network in the world. $932 billion right now that we know about. We know about it because it was in Congress. The Ways and Means Committee took my evidence. Minority Leader Lloyd Schmuckler took my evidence. People, they know the names that's in there. Now, think about this. Now, so I uncovered this money laundering network. But there's also a network around it of protection. They picked one of the smallest states in the country. New Hampshire has 1.3 million people. They didn't put 50 around the country. They didn't build 50 vaults of money, vaults of secrets and protection. They picked New Hampshire. That's why the Pandora Papers, hundreds of journalists from all over the country tracked the money down to that state. Also, $300 billion in South Dakota. South Dakota being very similar to New Hampshire in size. In fact, it's a little smaller. I think the population is around 900,000. Now, this is going to become very clear and important to each and every one of us in a minute. So what happened is that now we know the money laundering network. So you'll see me in videos if you go to State of Corruption on YouTube. I have two channels. What I did was I reported this to the banking department to find out that the banking commissioner's brothers were in on the Ponzi scheme. I went to Alex Walker, my other attorney, and say, Bill Shaheen's doing is the head of this laundering network. He told me to shut up and let them know that I was on them. You see me on camera, go to the FBI. You see me go to the authorities. And know what I found in each and every time? They were involved in this network. So not only do you have the money laundering network, you have the entity that protects this laundering network. You have the walls around it. But from there, consider what they built. They built a massive money laundering network with the FBI protecting it. The IRS is part of the laundering network. Now think about this. Once I found this out, they offered me $50 million. I was already a wealthy man. But my point being is I started meeting with all these victims. I organized these victims, not just of the Ponzi scheme, but the victims of family court, the victims of sitting with parents who locked their children to drugs, the elderly that are in nursing homes that are overdosing after they sign over their assets. So I met with hundreds and hundreds of victims. That's what State of Corruption became. So in other words, I found their commonality. I found the victims, but I also built a network of informants.
Let me just say real quickly here.
People that worked in the hospital, people that worked in the courts.
Mike, let me just say that I know exactly what you're talking about. John Holman and John McTernan, I don't know if you are familiar with John McTernan?
He sounds familiar.
He started Cops for Christ International, former special U.S. Treasury agent for 26 years. But anyhow, him and John Holman and myself were doing exactly what you're talking about. In the nursing homes, they were stealing the property from and trying to keep it and doing everything they could to make sure that we couldn't get in to talk to the elderly in the nursing homes who they were stealing their property. And you had judges, prosecutors, and I even had one police chief that panicked. I mean, he just lost it when I called to talk to him. He lost it, and he was yelling. I didn't know anything about it, and he started naming the others off. But I'll just let you go ahead and take it from there.
How about this? The cartels own the nursing homes. That's part of the drug distribution network, as they own hospice care and the treatment center. But let me get into that. But see, so at this point, I built this network of informants. So I started getting more. But now this is an important piece of this. So this money laundering network, this protection network, and this protection network works like this. These law firms infiltrate your courts. First of all, they infiltrate your attorney general's office. The Shaheen wife, Senator Shaheen and Hassan, were each governors before, and now Sununu then. From the governor's position, you appoint the AG. You appoint the banking department. What you do now is the banking department money laundering. The AG and these law firms infiltrate their AG's office with corrupt lawyers. These people turn around and block any investigation, all judgments, okay? The worst of them become judges. Now, those judges are hit judges. Are they all the judges? They don't have to be all the judges. There's a series of judges that are the hit judges. If they want a case to go to them, they own the Supreme Court Justice of the state, and they assign that case to the hit judge. All the other judges are petrified to say a word, just like all the cops aren't bad, but the ones that aren't, they're scared. And to me, you're just as bad. So there's the network forming now. You see, they got courts, no law enforcement. They're involved. The FBI's involved. The cops are involved. The courts are owned from the lower to the higher court. So think about it. So at this point, what you have is you built a machine, money laundering and protection. Now, who is that invaluable to? Because that's your customers. How about the largest cartel in the country moves to New Hampshire, directly tied to the Sinaloa cartel? The head of this cartel is a guy named Dick Aganos. The second is Andy Cruz and another guy named Bill Greiner. These are the money guys. These are the front men. What they do is they get protection, and these other people get a cut. They become partners with the cartel. And then not just the cartel. You know your pharmaceutical companies that flooded our country with opioids? Well, they move in. You know the insurers that will cheat you every time in court? You know why? Because they buy protection from the same network. This is how it works. I mean, this is how we have lost our country. New Hampshire became a model of where they these people put their money. Now think about this. Epstein, those names that Epstein has, are the same names that are in this laundering network. Maxwell. When Maxwell turned around and they had just killed Epstein, she knew she was the most wanted person in the world. Now think about this. She had resources. She had contacts. She had money. So we can reasonably think, let's think in her mind for a second, where would I go? Where would I be the safest? You know what she went to? The state of New Hampshire. You know what she did? She bought a home. That's how safe she felt she was. You know why? Because Maxwell was one and Epstein was money launderers. What were they next? Blackmailers. I mean, they're one and the same, by the way. So she was blackmailing them with the, now think about this, ready? The Pandora Papers, the largest money launderer. So the same money laundering network I pulled out 10 years ago is now the Pandora Papers, the largest money laundering network in the world. The names in now Pandora Papers is what controls this country. What controls this country is blackmail and extortion. It's what kept Epstein and Maxwell out of jail for all those years. Who were their clients? Who were their customers? The Clintons? You see what I'm saying? There's the power of this. And that's what James O'Keefe was. Listen, this evil comes to you as a friend. But that's not who they are. Now, so think about this now. Now we've got the Pandora Papers. That is that money laundering network. Those are the names. And I turned around and I went to the DEA with the evidence that I found of this cartel. You see me in a video, give them the evidence. I show you and I tell you what the evidence is. We have the largest fentanyl seizure in world history. You see it for yourself. An 80,000-pound capacity tractor trailer full of fentanyl, top to bottom, front to back. You know what the record used to be? 254 pounds.
Wow. I'm going to have to jump in here for a minute because we're coming up to a hard break, but you hang tight. You got time to go get a drink of water or use the bathroom, but we'll be back right
Go ahead.
Right after this.
Had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. We haven't been taking it, folks. Let me tell you, we've been fighting back from day one. There ain't no quit here. You won't find any quit here. And tomorrow, Lord's willing, I'm going to be at the Embassy Suites right down the road from where I'm sitting right now. And, well, Heather, you're going to be there with us.
I sure am.
We're going to go back, bringing America back to life. And that's tomorrow. Starts about 8 in the morning, goes all day and Saturday. It's the largest pro-life conference in the country, and we'll be there. I'll be meeting and greeting and attending some meetings tomorrow, so come out and look for old Pastor Ernie. I'll be there fighting the fight. Now, that was Carl Klang that was singing that song. Mike, were you familiar with Carl?
No.
Carl was a real Christian patriot. I mean, he was a hardcore fella. Him and I were good friends, and he literally got arrested for singing songs like you just heard. He was literally arrested in jail because he was singing those songs that offended some of the riffraff out there, some of the Communist Party. But anyhow, with that, we're going to go back and let you pick it up where you were at right there.
Well, when you said getting our country back, when you give me a second, I'm going to tell you how to do it, because I wasn't just exposing. Listen, I built those businesses, leader in the country, leader in the world. You do it with a strategy. They say wars are won in the planning, not in the fighting. So again, I got tons of a seizure of fentanyl. Nobody went to jail. So what we found out was the DEA was part of this corruption too. They are what protects. These are part of these walls. Now think of what I had here. They've given me a $50 million settlement to be silent. Now, we've posted that, and if you go to Brendan Lee O'Connell, he's posted it too, and it's on State of Corruption, the video, the list. So you see the names, but you remember these names. The New Hampshire Banking Department, the New Hampshire Banking Commission, the Department of Revenue, the IRS. You know why those are all important? Those are all the entities that audit, but don't. You see what I'm saying? That's how they money launder, by protecting the auditing surface. So your federal government, IRS, is involved in this money laundering. Why? Because you know who's in this money laundering network? Corrupt politicians around this country. The turnaround and the drug cartels. They clean their money exactly the same place. Trump turned around and knew what I had. He opened the door for me to go to U.S. Attorney Lullen. Now, Lullen was the U.S. attorney, just not in Boston, but representing all of New England, for this, except for the state of Connecticut, meaning he was the most powerful U.S. attorney in this country. In his own words, in his own description of evidence, which has been posted, you see me call out this laundering network, the drug cartels, the corrupt politicians, the corruption in the court. Where does he send it to? The Attorney General of the United States in writing. Okay? They own it. That evidence is documented and it's owned by the Attorney General of the United States. After the election, you've seen me on Twitter posting communications with me and General Flynn. General Flynn sought me out after the election to use my evidence to keep Trump in office. What I'm telling you is in text messages, it's in emails. Now, with 330 million people out there, why'd they come looking for me? Because it was this evidence that I worked years on, confronting these criminals, getting this information from informants and witnesses. So in other words, it made it to General Flynn to keep Trump in office. Now imagine this. What did I have that was so powerful that it could have kept him in office? Now think about it this. You remember when Trump got raided in Mar-a-Lago? You remember when James O'Keefe, infiltrated my network, along with Aaron Day, who Aaron Day is running for president, by the way. They infiltrated my network, gave the evidence to Sununu, who's also running for president, leveraged the money laundering network, Bill Shaheen, and took over the keys of the laundry. So in other words, they plan on using this leverage to become president of the United States. Don't forget, Bill Shaheen was tied to Bill Biden. That blackmail and those secrets, that's the currency that made Biden the president. That's how Washington really worked. And you want to know, why was the ex-national security advisor texting me and giving me emails? Because he was documenting the timeline all the way up to January 6th. People are wondering what happened then. Well, January 6th happened. I was part of the plan. I had nothing to do with January 6th. I had everything to do with getting these criminals out of office criminally with that evidence. Think about this. It's the question none of them can answer. Ready? How did this state senator, how did this governor make billions? The question is, where'd you get it from? So now this is my point. Flynn didn't release it to the public as promised. He promised me, and you'll see we're in text, he said that he swore that he would. But none of them have yet. Don't think what I'm telling you isn't known. The FBI raided them, Giuliani, O'Keefe, Trump, looking for my evidence. Because if you turn around and expose this evidence, the FBI is protecting them. They're what goes to jail first. I can tell you they didn't find the evidence. And I believe Trump still has it. But we know in writing, and we have in emails, that General Flynn has it. So let's go back to now saying, how do we take our country back? How do we win? You've seen many people expose corruption. But who gives you a plan to win? All right. That $932 billion was sent to investigate in Congress by the Ways and Means Committee. Okay? So in other words, they have the names. Now think about this. It's not $900 billion. It's not $600, not $400. It's $932. They know the names of the money. They know the corrupt politicians. They know the drug cartels, just like they knew that Epstein had names but wouldn't give it to you. They have it. So it's going to take the American people. And I mean, we have a path here. We demand to know the names in the Pandora Papers. We want to know who's corrupt before we start having elections. We want to get in front of a president, like say for instance Sununu running, who's running with the leverage and the threats that are in that Pandora Papers. Now, what I mean by that, if you have a candidate running against you and you know he's got $30 billion hiding in your state in the Pandora Papers, guess what? He loses. Not that he shouldn't lose, but the guy who's blackmailing is the guy who wins. You don't think Biden's corrupt? He's got 40 years of taking money. You ready? Where is he putting it? Biden's laptop. What's the real secret to Biden's laptop? What is the real thing that they don't want you to know? Not that they're stealing. Where are they putting the money? How are they cleaning it? Who protected it? The FBI. Who's protecting the laundry? The same FBI. Who scooped up Maxwell? The same Boston FBI. Who was her lawyer? The same Bill Shaheen. Listen, I'm a numbers guy. You know the odds of all those things happening are? It can't happen. It can't. That's what it means. So we as a country have a window. For the first time, maybe ever, and I can't tell you you're going to have a window again. Foreign journalists and some seminarian refused $50 million. For you to have those two happen again, I don't know anybody else who refused the money four times and was lucky enough that they tried to murder me three times in 13 days.
How'd they do that?
Security camera.
How'd they do that?
Well, tried to murder me three times?
Yeah.
And you know what? We got it on video. One time I went to meet with the National Mortgage Association in Miami. My VP of the company and my controller gave my address up. It wasn't even a meeting. They set me up, and what came into my room, and as I saw the door handle turned down, I swung it open. And it was a Russian nationalist. The guy was 6'7", although I'm 6'4½". The fight went into the hallway, but they caught it on security cameras. So what I'm telling you, the FBI has. It's called no room service. Now, you ready? I'm running for governor. I have a simple plan running for governor.
I remember you ran for governor.
Right. I turned around and said, I'm going to put you all in jail. I'm going to have a military tribunal come into the attorney general's office, and we're going to start offering immunity. And if you lie to us, we're going to bury you in jail for the rest of your lives and try you for murder if you're in the cartel. So at that point, they had to make me go away, and I had already refused their $50 million. So at this point, I couldn't be bought off, so they were going to settle out of court with a bullet. So the next time, I'm sitting in a closed office, all dark, in a conference room. Aaron Day, who works with James O'Keefe, who infiltrated my organization. O'Keefe worked with Sununu to get control of the Pandora Papers to blackmail the Democrat Shaheen. So what happened was this guy comes in. I hear a gong in the office. It's one of those things where the door, like a bell that goes off. And I was expecting someone to come in that we were going to do a video for, as I did videos for victims of corruption that wanted to come forward. Turns out a guy I never met came in, walked into the conference room, slid along the wall. I'm looking at the end of the table at Aaron Day. He puts his hands over his face. And I remember thinking, this is weird. I look up. The guy has a gun right to about my chin. At that point, Greg Theodore opens the door and the gong goes off. And the guy shoots out the side door. 2 seconds later, maybe a second and a half, I was dead. Now, this guy was caught on security video. The FBI had that. Within 2 days, I get threats to murder my children. Letters and texts saying they were going to cut each of their heads off and mail them back to me one at a time, all five of them. I take it to court and insist the judge, Judge Francois, take this as evidence and something, you know, for protection for my children. He refuses. I insist. He gives me 10 days in jail for contempt. The first day in jail, they take my blood pressure 6 times, all documented and posted on state of corruption. And the same point, right, the next day, I get a visitor. They tell me it's Dave Carney, a lawyer, but a guy I played basketball with as a young man. Turns out I walked into this little room, wasn't Dave Carney. Jared Broderick, he was a libertarian working for O'Keefe and Aaron Day.
Aren't all of those guys libertarians?
These guys are. These guys are. Shaheen's not. I mean, but my point being is now, so this Jared Saunders is a lawyer and a libertarian working for O'Keefe and Day. He tells me, take the $50 million, travel the world, you know, enjoy the rest of your life. And I made the mistake, and in this line of work, you better not make too many mistakes. But I did, and I said I wouldn't take it. And then it hit me. You're in jail. This was the last call. So I immediately turn around and write him a note. They're going to kill me tonight. Call the DEA, give them this evidence, the whole thing. Now, what I'm telling you is documented. Even Broderick has to turn around, and I post the email, so you see it in the video. You tell me the night that they tried to kill you, and you call it. And I called it then, never before and never afterwards. My hands were blue. My face were blue. My heart was shutting down. And what I did was, instead of eating the whole meal, I just had a bite. I had a hair analysis. It was arsenic. They were poisoning me that night. Okay, now, ready? Now, we're not even going to call this a murder attempt. Days afterwards, you can go to State of Corruption and listen to the video called Kill Gil. This was recorded by Aaron Day and Project Veritas. Will you hear a hitman turn around and say that he refused the contract on my life because I was running for governor? Only because I was running for governor. And you hear him say how much to make him go away. And it was the cartel that I was in trial with. Because you know what I did with these cartel members? I had 8 giant signs that went across highway. So when the DEA didn't take them out, the FBI didn't take them out, I put their faces on those signs. I put Shaheen on those signs, the head of the cartels on those signs. I took this to the people. The people were going to know who these people were. So as they're trying to kill me, I got their faces up on the sign. Now, that's all documented. I mean, so at this point, I turn around and say, I've got to go. So Trump opens the door with Lullen, and then I go to Washington. So I'm telling you, these people know. I mean, this is obvious. You know what this cartel is doing now? They're opening a casino almost every month. I don't know how many people have seen the series Ozark, but you go to New Hampshire, it's Ozark times 100. That's exactly what they're doing. The ground zero for opioids is New Hampshire. The ground zero for money laundering is New Hampshire. military-grade weapons manufacturing is the state of New Hampshire. My last meeting with Aaron Day, O'Keefe's guy, was with the head of a trucking company who was just a front man for the cartel. He came forward. They were moving machine guns from Manchester, New Hampshire, to Laredo, Texas. You know what they were bringing back? Children and fentanyl. Okay? And those children were going into sexual slavery. They're using them as organ donors. That's why this man came forward. That is what James O'Keefe knows with all his undercover of a woman voting twice. How about child trafficking? How about the cartel? How about real fixed elections? So, in other words, that's what they know. But they don't tell you that. You know why? It's tradable. It's the currency in Washington. It's what wins election. It what got Sununu to become governor and what they plan to make Sununu the president. And Aaron Day, you know, my witness and the guy infiltrated my company. Well, guess what? He's running for president, too. Now, what exactly does he have to make you think that he could run for president? He's got the evidence that I had against the cartel and their laundering network. He is a blackmailer. That's what he is. And his plan is, on the trade-off, to become the governor of New Hampshire when Sununu becomes president. Why do you think Sununu keeps going after Trump? There's not a person out there who goes after Trump, including Biden, more than Sununu. Sununu, what did Trump call New Hampshire? Drug-infested den. Sununu wanted him impeached. You see him shaking hands with Biden saying Trump's crazy. Because Trump knows who Sununu is and what he's done. That's why. So people have got to understand, we are in a war. I mean, this is good. This isn't corruption. This is evil. And behind these people are foreign entities. One of the moles in my company, Eileen Landy, who is connected with Day and O'Keefe, works for an Israeli military group. So I'm saying, I mean, Brendan Lee O'Connell knows more about these pieces. He's more external. I'm on the ground moving forward. Like, so that's why the two of us work so well together, because he could tie in some of the pieces that I didn't understand. But there are foreign entities here. Sununu was tied. Sununu, if you Google Chris Sununu, you'll see a front page of Breitbart. You ready? Sununu finances his ski resort from three terrorist groups tied to 9/11. I mean, he never denies it, and he finances the ski resort. And don't forget, Chris Sununu's father is the chief of staff for George Bush Sr., which goes all the way to Arkansas and the Clintons and the CIA. And what were they trading? Guns and drugs? What's New Hampshire but guns and drugs and money laundering? You see what I'm saying? This is where we are. Why are our borders open? I mean, Trump just came out of the war with Mexico. Does it make sense that we open our borders to human traffickers?
Well, you know what we've been saying, Mike, here, before the Biden was even president, well, he was still vice president, and we were telling people at that time about the Biden crime cartel. And when he was running for president, we were telling him about his job would be the Chinese Communist Party owns Biden. They own him, and with all the fentanyl that they're pumping into Mexico. But we told people that his job, Biden's assignment, was to keep the border open, to make sure the drugs were coming in, and terrorists, that the terrorists, for the time when they wanted them, when they gave them the signal to start burning down the cities, and, right, keeping a good supply of children to the pedophiles, because the Democratic Party is just, it's flush with pedophiles from top to all the leadership, top to bottom out there. And but we've been telling people about that since before he was even elected.
The cartels are your child human traffickers. They're one and the same. That's why neither one gets arrested. Now, think about this. This invasion is street dealers. They've taken the opioids away from your box stores like CVS and Walgreens. Remember how quietly they settled for pennies on the dollar, right, for opioid liability. So what they're doing is they're opening your cities and now your town. And across America, we're talking millions of people. They are your street dealers in your distribution network. That's why your crime's exploding. They're not telling you the truth about the crime level going across this country. And trust me, they're not telling you the real number of people dying. You know, the age group that dies the most from fentanyl is 5 to 14. Google it. 5 to 14. They're killing the youth of this country. Have you noticed that we're dying younger on a national average? Now, how is that possible when you would think that science is getting better? We're dying sooner? That's why. And think about this. That dark money is what these politicians crave the most. Why? Because it's undetectable. It's not. You can see something going from a lobbyist. You can see some money coming in from a book sale. Now, is it payoff? Sure it is. Plausible deniability. This dark money is gold. And the dark money comes from the human traffickers and the cartel. That's why it's so valuable. This was systemized. It wasn't voting. It was a takeover. You think that they told you the truth about COVID and the numbers there? They over-exaggerated those numbers and found out they lied. Why? Because the COVID fit into the opioid loss of business. You know what fentanyl filled in? After COVID. Now, it wasn't that it wasn't still here, but it's a takeover. And understand the difference and the danger of fentanyl. It's synthetic. And what synthetic means is they manufacturing it. Remember, the largest seizure in world history I got? Do you know? And not just bringing over everything from China. They're bringing Chinese chemists over to this country. There's a facility, a manufacturing, and I posted this, and I posted the evidence, a manufacturing of fentanyl facility just outside of Boston. They are manufacturing it here. This is low cost, cheap. Fentanyl is so dangerous now because they're mixing it with other drugs, even marijuana. But they're putting it in with heroin. And what happens when you get the dose wrong? You're dead. So you want to know, I think I heard something where it says it's going to get worse. It's going to get tremendously worse because they don't fear you anymore.
No, they don't. But we're coming up to a break when we come back. Look, we got our marching orders. God's word, the Bible's very clear. He tells us that he'll bring the victory, but we have to show up for the fight, right? And so we're going to go to a break when we come back. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what the opposition is doing and what we have to do to take America back. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.